Hello and welcome to Scoppy Radio. My name's Dan Johansson.
And I'm Maureen Smith. And today we are joined by Heather Bodine-Lederman from Pie Pie My Darling.
Hi!
Yay!
Welcome back.
Thank you!
Yeah, we were saying it's been like a year.
It's been like literally pretty much minus a week. It's been exactly a year.
Yeah, which is not, and it wasn't like we didn't try to make this happen.
Yeah. Also, like, crazy. Fun thing. I think we were probably really nervous the first time because we were, like, so admired you.
No, I was nervous, too. I'm like, what if people hate my voice? I couldn't even listen to it. I just don't like hearing my own voice. I just gotta hope I don't say anything stupid.
Because I looked back at the original episode.
It's one of our more popular ones, actually.
Yeah, well, aww. I looked back at the original episode and... In the description, like the, because whenever we put an episode description, we put like
a joke,
like a few topics that we actually talk about, and then a joke at the end.
Oh, okay.
And at the end of it, and it was blah 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 blah, and Maureen and Daniel are clearly fangirling.
Like, that's so cute.
So, but this time, old pros.
Yes, you're like, we know this chick.
Well, it's been like 150 episodes between now and then. Like, you probably can't even find that old episode anymore.
Yeah, which is good. Because I liked some things that I don't like now.
Yeah, it's weird how much can change in a year.
Yeah, totally.
Well, so let's... do the thing where, because we actually have a lot of like non-vegans that listen to the podcast, so let's talk about what Pie Pie My Darling is.
Okay.
Which I know can be very like, may seem very like, I don't know, redundant maybe?
Oh, but, no. Yeah, yeah. Pie Pie My Darling is it started as a pie business, and now it's an all cake business.
Wow.
I still do pies, but the demand for cake is just, it's taking the lead. But yeah, I like to think of it as it happens to be vegan. Like, it's not, you know, I don't want to make it... Obviously, I'm an activist. I care about animals, but tons of my customers aren't vegan. So I don't want to alienate anyone.
Cool.
So,
yeah, no, that's super rad.
I didn't realize that you had a large non-vegan...
Yeah, it's crazy. I get people messaging me all the time, like, I'm totally not vegan, but I'm into cakes, and I like what you do. It's really cool. Yeah.
Well, yeah, because you... And you were doing this before it was the thing that people were doing, but you have a very good, like, Instagram aesthetic for what you're doing.
Aw, thanks.
Like, and you do things that are very shareable, like, and it's only gotten more so, because, like, I'm thinking of, like, the Galaxy Black cake that you do.
Yeah.
And the, like, chocolate chip cookie on top of a cake, and, like...
Well, and you did a Shape of Water cake, too.
Yeah, that was fun. And that was cool, because Shape of Water has nothing to do with veganism.
Oh, yeah, no.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, that was fun.
We just tried to... We started watching Shape of Water, and then we got, like, an hour in, and we're just like, I don't know if I can finish this movie.
I can't watch her fuck the fish.
Yeah.
That's exactly it. We got to the part, oh, I guess like skip 30 seconds ahead if you don't want to hear this Shape of Water spoiler, but okay, skip now.
Yeah.
So we stopped right after they brought the fish back to our apartment, and they were like, we're going to wait a day.
Yeah.
And we're like, what do you mean we're going to wait a day?
Oh, I know.
Like, that was just to set up her fucking the fish.
Yeah.
Like, totally. like I was like, why aren't you going now? I told Maureen, I was like, if you brought a giant fish man home, we would be driving to Maine, like, now.
Yeah.
We would be gone.
I felt the same. It was a beautiful movie, but, like, and when they filled the whole entire room up with water. And
that,
like...
because I both was like, I don't know if I can watch. I think it was like a beautifully shot movie. Obviously, like, it deserves all of the credit it got.
Absolutely,
it was great.
Yeah.
I for whatever reason, it just was like, oh, this is like weirdly hitting me, my anxiety in a weird way. I can't finish this movie. But I want to know what happens. And so I know that happens.
Yeah, totally finish it. It's worth finishing. But yeah, I totally understand. Like, there were definitely some people in the audience that were like, what is going on here? But they're like, it's art, so I want to appreciate it. But like, I'm also really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I don't want to see her fuck the fish. I just don't want that. I just don't want to see her fuck the fish.
Oh my god, that is so funny. I'm sure tons of people who saw that movie are hopefully thinking right now, like, I'm not the only one.
Yeah.
Are you going to come on my lap? There's a kitty. And he wants to come
on. And it's Oscar. Oscar's not usually the...
Hi, Oscar.
You're very popular with our cats.
Aw, I love kitties.
So a lot has changed for you in the past year.
Oh, my goodness.
So a lot of it is... We kind of want you to take the lead in this part of it. So the last time we chatted, you were looking at opening a, like, you were looking at having a location.
Had I picked the location at that point? I can't remember either. God, it was so long ago.
And it was only a year, but it was also like
a lifetime.
Yeah, yeah. It's been a long year. Yeah.
Well, I guess.
Well, either you had or you had just, like, very recently after, you were, like, about to move into a space.
Yeah, I think that's what it is, because I think I was scheduled for, like a July or August opening. Mm-hmm. So I think I had announced the spot, and then everything went nuts. Yeah. So, how do I want to address things, but also, like, glaze over it.
Mm-hmm. That's totally fair. So, I mean, you announced a spot and it didn't work out.
Yeah. Yeah, it did not work out the way I was expecting it to. See, the thing is, I want to try to be an empowered woman and not, like, be afraid to talk about what happened, because I don't want to project this image of, like, I'm hiding it.
Right.
But at the same time, it's something I want to be in the past and be gone, so I don't feel like there's a need to rehash it. But basically, someone I went into business with wasn't what they said they were, and they made me believe that they truly wanted to help me, and they wanted other things. That's what I'll say.
Yeah.
And it was heartbreaking and really, like, whew, it sent me into a depression for a while there. But it's... it's positive. I'm trying to switch it around. Same with another recent experience that happened. I'm trying to, like, switch it around my head, and instead of being, you know, tortured by the shit that's gone wrong this past year, just think of it as inspiration for, like, these people who have been really shitty. They're my inspiration to, like, never be that. Mm-hmm. So, like, wow, you totally taught me how I never want to treat people. Thank you.
That's actually, you know? Really, like... resonant. And the thing that I think would be really powerful to put this in context with, or at least helpful, like, for talking about it, is I think one of the things that's remarkable to me as a person, you know, who it's something I think about a lot when I think about kind of, like, the burden of education, if you will, or, like, the kind of, like, these kinds of conversations, like, how they can be difficult, is, like, a lot of times it takes a person who is, like, being marginalized actually speaking their truths and, like, getting personal and doing that. And what's amazing is you both have this, like, really carefully crafted brand in Pie Pie My Darling, and you've done so much to, like, cultivate a certain, like, expectation, like, both in how good the food is and just, like, generally throughout everything that you do, but you're also, like, especially lately, like, and I think this was always kind of a bit of it was but you've found a way to really, like, talk with your audience and, like, bring kind of this personal element to it.
I'm grateful that I'm able to do it, because I would literally go crazy if I couldn't. Like, I sometimes wonder what it's like for my followers who have been following since the very beginning, because it's sort of like, before I was very, very happy-go-lucky all the time, and I think early on I did make some posts about depression, because that's been a thing for me since I was born, basically. I was born like, why am I here?
Yeah, I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing at, like, if that ain't a mood. Like,
yeah.
If you aren't speaking to my life
right
now.
Put me back in.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I sometimes wonder if the followers are thinking, like, why is she all of a sudden so, like, depressive? But it's always been there. But certain events that have happened this past year kind of set me back a little bit. And instead of enduring and enduring and enduring, which I was doing for months, and just trying to hide and be like, happy pie pie, like everything's cool, I was like, you know what? I could die tomorrow. Like, why not just be me if people aren't cool with it? I'm busy as fuck as it is. Like, if people don't like me anymore, bye.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? So, and it's worked out to where tons of people have reached out and said they feel the same way. And, you know, business owners who have been through the same thing have reached out. So it's been totally, I don't regret, like, oversharing at all. It's been really helpful.
You know, there's real power in... And, you know, something that you've, like, kept locked up and sharing it and then receiving, like, yes, this has happened to me, too.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Like, there's nothing better. Like, a shitty thing happened to me today and I posted on Facebook about it and three people were like, oh, I've totally been through that and that's terrible and I'm so sorry. And I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, like, I'm glad that I'm not just this weirdo that, that like, bad shit happens to. Like,
totally, yeah. You can get so stuck in your own head and you do start to think, like, what is wrong with me? Like, especially with this past year, I've thought, like, am I just, like, a walking, like, drama? Like, why is all this drama coming to me? But then, yeah, you talk to other people and it's like, dude, it's so not you. It's just the world. There are people out there in the
that
world
are, that are
you know,
predatory. And I think the thing that's hard is thinking, like, I think that, I don't know, I don't think it's something that predatory people do consciously, but there's something about it, this whole experience, like, speaking from things that I've gone through, like, that you feel like you're isolated. And you feel like no one, like, I'm specifically thinking of, like, when we went viral with Nazis, where it was like, wow, like, I, like, you all of a sudden are like, oh, wow, there are just corners of the world that, like, I'm not represented in. And, like, it makes you feel like you're, like, alone. But in reality, like, you have such a strong community.
Yeah.
And especially for you, you have such an understanding one. I think, like, one of the things that's so remarkable is, you know, you are, like, a one-woman shop. Like, you are doing this all on your own, and you've been, like, so willing to be open and honest with that, with people that... And I think that... Do you find that, like, people are cool with that? Like, has it been... Like, what's that kind of... Because it's been, like, months now that you've been, like, okay, this is... Let me like, put out front my timeline here. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do worry that... I mean, I worry about everything always, but I do worry that people are thinking, like, you know, a year ago you were saying you were really busy and you were going to make changes. What happened? You know, and it's true. I mean, I will totally take responsibility for that. A year ago, I thought I was going to have a storefront. I did think I was going to hire. I did think all these things were going to happen. And yeah, it just really threw me off when that didn't happen. And then it was kind of like, I was like, should I give up on it for a little? And then I did give up on it for a little and went headfirst into wholesale and special orders. And that got so busy. I mean, there hasn't been, like, a free day to even think. Mm-hmm. So it's just been busy. So that's why I don't know if you guys saw recently, but I made a post about, like, hey, in June, I'm considering closing down orders.
I did see that, and I think you should do that.
Thank you.
I think you should do that. No, and because, like, honestly, I think that there's only so much that you can give of yourself.
Yeah.
Before there's nothing left to give, you know? Like,
totally.
You know,
and yeah, my worst fear, even bigger than failure, I'm always afraid of failing, but even bigger than that, is burnout. Like, I would hate to disappear because I worked myself too hard.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen it happen. I mean, it happened with an amazing bakery, Fritz Pastry. The lead chef there was a wonderful woman. I've met her, and she just worked herself to where she was sick, and she had to stop, you know? And I totally relate to that, like, you know, I don't sleep enough, I don't eat enough, like, things happen. So I'm really, my close friends have kind of sat me down and, like, gave me literally, like, a bakery intervention. Like, dude, you have to stop. You can't keep going like this. And it seems nuts. It seems like it's just cakes. How difficult could it be? But it's hundreds and hundreds of orders, which I'm so grateful for. I want to always reiterate that it's not like I'm like, get away from me, like,
no, of course
I'm
not.
Really appreciate it, but I don't want the quality to decrease because I'm trying to take on too much. Like, you know, I want to keep this thing going and make it better. So,
well, and that's what's so, because I remember from the last time we talked, we asked you a question that was like, you know, worst case scenario, crunch time, what is, how, like,
how quickly can you get a cake done?
I remember that.
And you were like 3 hours.
Right.
So if like at your fastest, it takes you 3 hours to make a cake. Yeah. And I mean like that's not to say that you can't, you know, that you can't have multiple cakes baking at once. Like yeah. especially if you're working in a commercial kitchen.
Yeah.
Like there's, but still, it's that's 3 hours of mental energy on a cake.
Yeah.
And you're one person.
Right. Yeah, it gets kind of, and because they're all like, I mean, I do have standard flavors, but my menu has expanded a lot in the past year. So it's about like 19 different flavors.
Oh my God.
So if in a given weekend, like everybody orders a different flavor, you're making like 10 different frostings, 10 different bases, 10 different fillings. So it gets complicated. So, but yeah, I think that closing down orders, maybe not the whole month, maybe just a couple weeks, just so I can like, you know, people tell me all the time, like, you should get a secretary, you should get an assistant, you should do this. And I'm like, I am totally, you're so right. But, like, I can't do that when I'm in the kitchen working a 20-hour shift. I have to, like, stop, you know.
Yeah.
So that's the goal, is to actually take time, like, and actually take days off where the whole day is just working with other people, hiring people.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, no, that, you absolutely, that is, I think, a thing that more people need to do. I think that mm-hmm. we get so caught up in this, like, I need to work thing. It's yeah. like, mm-hmm. where, you know, the idea of taking time, like, there's a Michael Jordan quote or something like that, where he's mm-hmm. like, you gotta take 3 months a year off and just not touch your thing.
Yeah.
Because how else, that's the time that you grow.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it's, and like, I think so it's, I was thinking about it in the car on the way here, and I was like, you know, it's so interesting, the age of Instagram, because when you think about, like, not even that long ago, just before the crazy, like, Instagram or internet wave, like, everyone did it backwards. They would open a storefront, nobody knew who the hell they were, they'd put out advertising, and then they'd get people to come, mm-hmm. but with Instagram, you know, it's not just like this for me. I know female baker, like, specifically female bakers all over, like, California, New York, and Tennessee, like, that they have the same thing going on, and I talk to them, which is great, but it's sort of like you create this Instagram, you post your stuff, you become super popular, and you're selling a lot, and you don't even have a storefront yet. So it's like, it's very interesting with the Instagram thing, how it's backwards. You get popular before you even have your storefront.
Right.
So it's a different kind of approach to the whole bakery business.
Yeah, it's one of those, you know, it actually is really relatable to something we talk about a lot, which is like the especially in a space like Chicago,
mm-hmm.
like the democracy of art making in Chicago makes it so that anybody can really do a project. But then how do you have stability, you know? And mm-hmm. I feel like in a lot of ways, so many people are craving like, oh, a brick and mortar location or a thing. I don't actually have a question here. Happens sometimes. This actually happens like once out of every 3 episodes.
I feel it though. I mean, that's you know, some people have told me like, are you sure you even want a storefront? Because maybe you should just like, you know, expand your wholesale. And I'm like, no, don't tell me to give up on this. Like, I tell me to give up on this every day. Like, I need you guys to believe in me. Like, there's been people like, oh, there's gonna be, you know, more taxes and stuff. And I'm like, I get that, but I want this. I really want to make it happen. Like, Chicago needs an all-vegan... I mean, we have an all-vegan bakery. We have,
Bot?
Bot Bakery, which is awesome. Vegan, gluten-free. They need another vegan bakery. Yeah, I just... I want to see more of that.
You want it to be a thing, not an anomaly, to have, for a city to have a vegan... To have vegan
like,
bakeries.
When you... You know, I go to Portland all the time, go to LA, go to New York. There's, like, multiple vegan bakeries, and I want to see it, that happen here. Like, it, you know?
But I also think that... And not to, like... I've actually never been to Bot Bakery, but... And I don't... So I'm not comparing to that, or, you know, there are other places.
Yeah, I wrote an article. I really want to go.
You wrote an article about them, and I want to go.
What I was going to say is that you also have very much, like, your bakery specifically would be a bakery worth going to outside of it being vegan. Just because I think that it's one thing to make a good vegan cake, but to also be able to, like, do you quantify that in yourself, that... That, like, I'm trying to think of how to put it, like, this, like, maverick cake element that you bring to the table of, like, wanting to, because it's very clear you have, like, visions that you want to see realized, do you know what I mean? Where you're like, oh, this is an idea, and I want to turn that into a cake.
Yeah.
And I feel like that is the difference between being like, oh, I'm just going to wholesale cakes that people can sell.
Yeah, I don't want it to be just like, here's a vegan version of a thing you've always had.
Right.
There's this whole idea of a vegan bakery of like it being like hippies, and which there's nothing wrong with hippies, but I'm personally like punk metalhead. But I just want it to be like, you know, less about just being vegan. Like, okay, the cake's vegan. What else? Like, is it really, really good? Is it creative? All the cakes, like, you know, before I did this, I would see all these amazing cakes, and I was like, there's no reason why I can't do that vegan. There's literally no reason. Why not just do it? Like, instead of just the basic vanilla with vanilla frosting, like, you know, we deserve all the awesome choices that everybody has.
I honestly usually forget that it's vegan.
Yay!
Like, and that's coming good. From a vegan. Like, like, I look at your cakes, and I think, honestly, it's more to do with the fact that the type of, like, food photography I now consume is mostly vegan, and so I don't really even think about it. But, like, I don't think of your cakes as, like, oh, they're vegan cakes. I'm just like, oh my god, they're beautiful cakes.
Aw, thank you. That's how I want it to be. I don't want it to be, like, a, you know, because my whole family isn't vegan. I don't want it to be like a...
One thing I remember we talked about the last time was how important it is to find the palates of non-vegans for vegan cuisine. Because I think we were talking about how... we were talking about fried chicken, I think.
Yeah, we were talking... Oh, yeah, we talked about the... how it was like a vegan chicken that had like rice paper around it. So when you bite into it, you get the texture of the skin.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like actually going a step further, like you could just make like a vegan chicken that's like, all right, it passes as chicken. No, I want to make a vegan chicken that like non-vegans are like, holy crap, I would eat that, you know? Like,
well, and to speak again to just the like the weirdness of the last year, vegan food has changed so much in the last year.
Yes.
Like, how long have you been vegan?
It's going to be 10 years in January.
So you've got me beat. I think I've been vegan for like 4 years.
That's still, that right? In vegan years, that's a lot.
Well, and I, from when I went vegan, things like Daiya used to taste like shit.
Like, so bad.
Like, really, and it's
much better
now. And
there was like
one
vegan cheese. It was like tofu-y.
Right.
Yeah. Like, there was one of everything, and now it's like, there are so many choices. I don't know which vegan cheese to choose.
Like, or like all of the yogurts they have now.
Oh my gosh. That's crazy. Yeah. Yeah.
No, my boss at the cafe I work at, she was like, hey, Maureen, like we want to get a vegan cream cheese for our bagels. Like, what should we get? And I was like, all right. So do you want the best one, or do you want like the cheapest one, or do you want the... Do you want, and she was like, I don't know, something in the middle. And I was like, okay, so you should get tofu-y and you should get the blue top because the blue top tastes better than the yellow top.
Yep.
And she was like, okay. And I'm like, there's a lot of options out there. Which is wild.
It's so great. And that's, I've been mentioning lately, I'm trying to like gently force it down people's throats to like be grateful. Like we have so much now, and yeah, there's still, you know, more to come, but I mean, I get so inflamed inside when I see vegans like if a vegan restaurant is making the effort of having a vegan option, and I see vegans commenting like, oh, well, it's great that you did that, but you should really, it would be really nice if you did this. And it's like, dude, these people aren't vegan, and they're making a vegan option for you, like, or multiple vegan options. Like, give them a thank you. Like,
Yeah. We have an editorial about this specifically.
Oh, really?
I wrote a piece about Taco Bell.
Okay.
Because I've loved Taco Bell since childhood.
Yeah.
I think it's always been my favorite fast food restaurant. Mm-hmm. And so when I went vegan, I didn't know about it, but then I like realized that there are just so many options.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there's a big desire to discredit low cost vegan options.
Yeah.
And I
the White Castle thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I do not want to weigh in on the White Castle thing. Feel like, but damn if that's not relevant. No. I think that, like, I think that something that I really appreciate about...
So glad we're not going to talk about White Castle.
I know.
I know. I like that we keep referencing
it. Forget it ever happened.
Yeah, yeah. I think that there are a lot of vegan folks that I deeply appreciate right now. And they all seem to be in a similar headspace where it's like, okay, I both am going to call out this thing that I disagree with, mm-hmm. but also try to instill a positive practice with the folks that I know yes. are not that are not like feeding into this kind of shamey the thing is, like, it's weird when the argument is like being shamey and not being shamey,
mm-hmm.
and I think that and I'm kind of curious for you. I mean, like, this is still something that I'm grappling with, so if, like, you don't know, that's totally fair, mm-hmm. but, like, my question for you is, like, what have been your kind of positivity guidelines? Like, how are the ways that you, like, take care of yourself, you know, in all of this, especially kind of, like, with your, I mean, fame, like,
oh. I'm still a loser, I promise. I don't know. I mean, well, that's sort of why I want to take this break, because to be perfectly honest, I haven't been taking care of myself. I haven't been sleeping enough. I haven't been eating right. I mean, I'm like a fast food vegan. I get, like, fries and like, mm-hmm. you know, I don't eat full meals and I barely eat vegetables. Like, I'm horrible. But I'm working all the time, so I've just got to, like, grab at what I can. But lately, I've been... I mean, music is my biggest escape. That's why I named this thing Pie Pie My Darling. So I'm trying to go to more shows when I can fit it in. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to sleep more. I think my positive thing now is taking this time... Or, like, making the decision to take this time for myself. Because other than that, I'm not really doing very much for myself. I mean, luckily, I have a job that is pleasurable for me. Like, making these cakes, I have to wake up in the morning and think, like, am I going to wake up and find out that this is all a dream and I'm actually, like, a barista at some coffee shop or something? Which would be awesome. I was a barista before this. I liked it. But, like, am I going to just find out that this isn't real? Like, I'm so thankful. I have to keep saying that because I often feel like I come off as ungrateful because I'm so busy. But it's not ungratefulness at all. It's just a desire to be more organized and just, you know, be... I want to live my life, too. I want to live my life happily and sleep sometimes.
I want to believe that people see that, though. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't think you ever come off ungrateful. I feel you come off... Wow, that's a weird... seem very... I just think it's clear you've got a lot... Like, I mean, you're any one of your posts, like... gets thousands, like, how, I don't actually know how many, do you know? Like,
I don't know, I'm like,
that's a weird thing to,
maybe, but like, I just, a couple thousand, I don't know.
Heather, give us the analytics, well, Heather.
What's
your main demographic?
Yeah, no, I don't actually, like, remember what good Instagram numbers mean anymore.
Oh, the algorithm thing is nuts.
Yeah, yeah. It's just always back and forth. But yeah. I guess my point is like, what I know for certain is that it's very clear that what you have going on is a lot, you know, and I think that shines through. And I, again, don't have an actual question.
Okay, I have.
But I knew you did. Yeah,
I have several. So, so I want to know. Okay, I have two avenues, and I'm trying to decide.
Okay, we can go down both.
Yeah, we're definitely gonna go down both. I just want to. Okay, so I know that something that you wanted to touch on today was kind of like lessons that you've learned, mm-hmm. and as well as, like, advice for young entrepreneurs.
Yeah, that was... I made a post this past week saying that I was going to be on here, mm-hmm. and people asked me, or I asked people saying, like, what would you like me to touch on and address, and lots of people who are in the business wanted some advice on, like, how to... because they see that I've had some struggles this year, and they wanted advice on how to, like... dodge the stuff I've been through, and I'm so down to, like, not have anybody have to go through it. I won't be very detailed, but I just think it's what I've really learned this year is that you can't treat business relationships like friendships. You really have to draw the line and have boundaries, because that was my biggest issue, is like I didn't make contracts at all. I just felt like, you know, I'm a very young at heart, trusting, like I believe everybody is what they say they are. Believed, past tense. I'm not like that anymore. No. But yeah, it's really been like a coming of age for me this past year, and realizing like, not that all people are bad, but there are some people out there who literally don't give a shit about you, and they will just, I mean, they'll leech onto you and they'll pretend like they care because they want to take things from you. And it even feels icky. Like, I want to like wash my tongue after saying that, because it just feels like I don't want to have this negative view of the world. Like, it's like that. But it's really important for people, especially in the cake business, because you think, I'm just making freaking cakes. Like, how dramatic could this possibly get? Like, I'm making cakes. That's what I thought. Like, what could possibly go wrong here? But when people find that you have a product that's profitable, and they find that there's a market for it, and you're the only one in the market doing it, they're going to want to latch on to that. And you've just got to really make sure to make contracts, make sure to respect yourself, and just don't always trust that people are what they say they are. You really got to, you know, see them as, this is the business world. There are sharks here. Mm-hmm. So I hope that's not totally depressing.
No, it's so important, because I mean, like, because like, I mean, and that's valuable for us, mm-hmm. because we're like, as we're growing, you know, we're starting to consider collaborations with people, mm-hmm. and like, we're also very trusting people, you know, we love deeply, and mm-hmm. like, we trust deeply, and like,
yes.
and like, that's probably not good.
That's exactly well, what they look for.
Yeah. yeah. I also think that something that you said, I don't remember if this was before we started recording or when we started recording, uh-huh. but you were talking about this, and what something that you kind of mentioned was that there's also a level of like making sure to keep kind of like a you word differently, but basically like not a probationary period. I'm trying to think of how I'm now trying to verbalize what I'm thinking, which is like making sure to give people time to earn trust.
Yes, totally. Yeah. Don't just, if someone's like, hey, you know, I've been following you for a long time, and I love what you do. Like, people are going to blow smoke up your ass all day long.
Right.
And they're going to say, I support you. I love what you're doing. I could really help you. You have to stop, and you have to think, what are they getting out of this? What are they getting out of helping you? And nobody wants to think that. I didn't want to think that, which is why I didn't, which is why I got screwed over. But, yeah, you've really got to think, like, what are their intentions here? Why would this person selflessly help me, you know, tell me how to run a business, want to help me with my finances? Like, why would someone want to help me with this stuff unless, you know? And you could be wrong. Like, they could truly just want to help you, but you've got to protect yourself, because I mean, the stuff that's happened this year has made me want to quit, just because I'm like, you know, I'm in this business to have fun. I'm not here for all this like competitive games, you know? So, but I'm not going to give up. I'm totally not going to give up.
Good.
But, yeah, I think if there's any way I could prevent some, like, not even just a cake owner, like, or cake business owner, like, if I could just prevent anyone from going through that, I'd just say really protect yourself and go into it, like, assuming the worst of people, but hoping for the best.
Yeah. No, I think that's really smart, and I think that's really valuable. And so I have another question, and this is a positive question.
Yay!
So you are committed to opening a bakery, which is really awesome. I think, like, I can't wait to go to your bakery.
Thank you.
I'm very excited for that. So tell me, like, about what your bakery is going to look like. Like, what is, like, what is the experience of walking into Pie Pie, my darling?
Oh, it's crazy, dude. I haven't even, like, allowed myself to think about that. I don't know. I want it to be, are there ways to put it into words? I want it to be, like, somewhere where people would actually want to hang out and stay and, like, write papers and get coffee. I'd like there to be coffee. And playing my music, not playing, like, trendy bullshit stuff that's on the radio. There's going to be Joy Division and the Cramps and all sorts of good music that I like, and it's not going to be Pinkified everything. I do love Pink. I love me some Pink, but it's not going to be... I just feel like every bakery you walk into, it's like this girly vomit. Like, it's just too much girliness. I want it to be, like, you know, neutral, I guess. But another important aspect to me is, like, I don't know. I don't know where I got the childhood fantasy from, because I can't think of a bakery that I've actually been to like this. In Chicago? I mean, maybe there is. I don't know. But ever since I was a kid, I just had the dream of, like, going to a bakery and there just being this, like, full and abundant case, like, full of, like you can see the cakes. You could see, like, five different cakes, like, on cake stands. And you could see cupcakes. And just, like, where can you see that as a vegan? Like, you just don't see... You see, like, all right, your option is, like, a cranberry oat scone. And, like, a vanilla cake. Like, I want it to be, like, there's so much to choose from. You're, like, you know, the kid in the candy store feeling. Yeah. I want that. I want, like, an abundance of different options. And just, I think it would be cool to have. I went to this donut shop in West Dundee, which I posted about, like, a day ago. I think it's called Kraft. Yeah, and they're not vegan, but they had great vegan options. But they had a... They had the kitchen in a room with, like, clear glass windows so you could watch the bakers doing their thing. And I think that's so cute. If there's a way I could incorporate that, like, just the... That's the baking magic to me, is, like, watching people put ganache drip on a cake. And, like, I just love pressing your face up to the windows. I just love that. I would love to have that.
No, that visual is also resonates with me, like, the kind of... Well, so two thoughts here. First of all, the bagel place that I would go to growing up, there was a window where you could watch people making bagels.
Yeah, and that's so fun.
And I thought that was so cool. And, like, looking back on it now, like, I'm sure those people were miserable. Like, what I think is so cool, and what I think is, like, so appropriate about having that image in your shop potentially is that because you as a business owner and because you as a brand have become so transparent about what it takes so transparent about what it takes to do what you do, and, like, just, like, so transparent about your process, like, the fact that, like, okay, now you can actually see what I'm doing.
Right,
like,
that I love transparency. That's a really, I love thinking about it that way. That's great. Totally. Yeah. I love the transparency. There's no reason to pretend, like, I pull these cakes out of my ass. Like, people ask me all the time if I went to pastry school. I'm like, dude, I literally have no special talents that you don't have. Like, I went to school to be a therapist, totally failed, dropped out. I also went to school for creative writing, which I don't mention very often because it was a total fail. But, like, no pastry school experience. I literally just, like, peeked over at my coworkers when I worked at a bakery and watched them make cakes, and then watched, like, YouTube videos and read books about how to layer a cake. Like, it's totally, like, I want to make it very clear that I don't have anything, like, this is attainable for anyone. Like, anyone could do what I do. And that's another thing with the storefront. Not that I wouldn't hire pastry students, because I think it's great that people go to pastry school and everything, but I definitely like to hire a lot of people who are, like, homemakers, because that's what I was. And it hurt so much, like, when I wanted to get, like, cake jobs, and people would be like, oh, you have to have experience. I'm like, how do I get experience? Like, do I have to pay, like, thousands of dollars to go to this special school? Like, so I'd love to hire people that are like, I don't know what the hell I'm doing, but I have passion. Like, passion is all you need. The stuff that I do, it's not fancy plated dessert, like, French, like, whatever. It's what your grandma would have made, except with, like, more Nebula sprinkles.
I don't know. My grandma does love her some Nebula. No, she doesn't.
She loves the goth cakes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
No, that's actually very relatable, because I feel like we're finding that the things we need more of are things that are, like, skill-based things. And it's interesting to me, the whole, like, experience of things that are very skill-based and, like, things that you just kind of learn by doing. I'm specifically now thinking about, like, recording engineer work or like the stuff we do, like where it's like a lot of this stuff, like, you know, the podcast sounds better because we've spent more time figuring out how to make it sound better, you know. And it's like, that's such a, I know, for me, well, do you ever have the like, actually you probably mentioned this already, but like the like imposter syndrome thing?
Oh, every day of my life. Every day I'm like, I don't deserve followers. I don't deserve people caring about what I do. I don't deserve people. Like, every day I have to shut those. Like, I literally look like a crazy person sometimes because I'll say out loud, shut the fuck up. Like, I'll say it, like, just because there's all these voices in my head telling me these horrible things. And sometimes you just have to, like, shut them up. Like, tell them, like, no, like, I'm not hearing it. That's, like, it sounds crazy, but...
Well, and I think there's something really, like, about doing it DIY, doing it from, like, doing things that, in a way that anyone could do.
Yeah.
Like, you go, like, oh, I know where I came from, and I know how I got here.
Yeah.
And but also, like, you've been doing this for, like, years now.
It's crazy to think
about. What, so, how... What are the things that, and I want to also bring this up to another thing that you were talking about, which was you were talking about how ultimately you had a moment where you were like, I'm thinking about giving this up, but then you had a moment of like, no, I'm not going to give up.
Yeah, I let the assholes win. I'm sorry. I hope I'm not cussing too
much. No, you can totally curse.
Like, when we first started, we did an episode where I got on a bent about faux feminists, and we earned our explicit rating on that episode. Good. So, like, you're totally fine.
Good. Yeah. It's, yeah, fuck is like a comma to me. It's just like...
it is also for me. And my grandma has listened to an episode or two, and she's been like, Dan, you curse so much.
Oh,
like,
Dan, you're so bad.
Yeah.
But anyways, that said, what was the question?
I guess just, like, what is your biggest motivator?
Okay, that's a good question. Sometimes I don't even know. I just have this, like, it sounds cheesy, but I just have this fire inside of me. Like, I think once I found baking, like, before baking, and I can say this because I've said it in post tons of times, I was an addict, I was in and out of rehab for years, and I didn't have a reason to be here, like, to be in the world. I just didn't have my calling. I didn't feel like I fit anywhere. So once I found this thing, the baking, and found something that, like, it makes me want to get up every day, and it makes me excited and passionate and like, oh, I have all these ideas. I want to, like, make this into a cake. Like, I was like, I need to stick with that. Like, I cannot let that go, especially, you know, if people have wronged me or whatever. Like, I'd be letting them win if I was like, people are mean to me, I'm gonna stop. Like, no, I have to keep going because it's a once in a lifetime thing to find something that you truly love that you actually can get paid for. Like, I feel so lucky. So I'd be so stupid if I let it go just because some shit happened. Like, it'll be okay. So,
no, that's huge.
I have a total tangent, but I have another question. What makes a great vegan option for you?
Like, savory or sweet?
Both.
Hmm.
Is that needy of me that I want to know both?
No, that's fine. Like, what ingredients or flavor? Like, anything. Like totally.
I don't know. This is something, because it's something that I'm also thinking about more.
Like, if you walk into an Omni restaurant, and for our non-vegan listeners, Omni means...
You eat everything. Yeah,
exactly. So if you walk into an Omni restaurant and you've been told that there are vegan options,
okay, yeah,
but like you don't know what they are and you look at a menu, what would excite you?
Oh, I have the perfect answer for this because Polly G's. So the owner of Polly G's, Derek, he's a friend of mine. He's an actual friend. Like, he's a business friend, but he's a fucking good guy. Like, he's genuinely a good guy. But anyways. At his restaurant, it's a perfect example of, like, it's not a vegan restaurant. There's meat all over the place and cheese all over the place. But with his vegan stuff, he goes outside the box. Like, he'll make his own tofu or make his own, like cheeses, make his own meats. Like, he goes the extra mile to be creative. I think that's what I look for in a vegan dish, like creativity. Like, did you actually challenge yourself to make this, or were you just like, I'm going to take, like, you know, a regular hot dog and put a vegan hot dog in the bun and then, like, sell it at, like, did you, which is fine. I mean, if businesses want to do that, I'll buy it. Like, but yeah, it really inspires me and makes me really happy when chefs who aren't vegan go out of their way to be like, you know what, I'm going to take this as a challenge. I'm going to try to, I think that's the way, I could be wrong, but I think that's the way Derek takes it, is like, I've already mastered regular pizza. Like, let's take this and make it fun and actually make a challenge out of making something I've never made before. So, creativity.
Yeah.
Like, actually try.
Right. Fun. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. That's, yeah, because I think there's something to, like, because there are places that just do their regular thing, but, mm-hmm. you know, but there's just something about that, like, oh, I want to tell people about this now. You
yeah.
know, like, figuring out what it is about, like, a good vegan option that makes you want to go, like, oh, this is like, actually progressing
yeah.
the vegan culinary experience.
Yeah. Have you guys been to the Peninsula? I don't know how to say it. The Peninsula?
Yeah. So, we haven't been, but we talked to the woman organizing the Mother's Day high tea at
oh,
Ravenswood
yeah.
Loft.
Mm-hmm.
We talked to her, and she was inspired by Peninsula's
oh,
high tea. Which, like,
it's
so
amazing.
A lot of my family is, like, Irish,
mm.
and so, like, tea is, like, a big deal.
Yeah.
And so, like, when I saw, you posted recently that you were there.
Yeah,
and
I went
like,
for my friend's birthday, and I was blown away.
I was
it
like,
was
oh my
so
God.
Good, yeah.
Well, we thought we missed
there.
It.
Oh, yeah, it's every weekend.
Cool.
We went on a Monday. I think it's every day of the week. You just have to make reservations, and you feel all fancy, and there's, like, fancy rich people eating around you, and you're like, oh, I'm so not you, but I'm going to pretend like I am today. And it's a little, it's, like, 65, so it's, like, not an every week thing, but totally worth it, worth the splurge. Like, you get so much food. You get, like, 5 different vegan sandwiches, like 5 different dessert pastries, and you get these scones with like beautiful like rhubarb jam, like so much,
oh
and then teas.
God.
Yeah, totally worth. It's like a great date, not mm-hmm. date night, date.
No, and I appreciate that because like I know for me, and I feel like this is probably what we talked about when we talked about when we talked with the woman from Ravenswood Loft.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm one of my big. Stump speeches, my like things is affordability in vegan food.
Yes.
Like it's super important to me. But I also believe in like if something is like truly remarkable,
yeah.
like then it's worth it. That's the thing for me
totally.
Is when it's when something is expensive and not worth it.
Yeah, that's when you get pissed because it's like serious like mm-hmm. when people are like, oh, it's vegan, so I can
charge
know, just,
it.
Yeah.
A bunch.
I try
yeah.
to be very mindful of that with my cakes. I try to be fair because I do have to charge a certain amount to make my living.
Right.
But I will never do the, like, it's vegan, so I'm going to slap on $10 more dollars. Because
mm-hmm.
I know people will pay for it. Like, I could never live with myself.
No, because,
that.
Like, because I ordered my birthday cake from you, which, by the way, was amazing.
Thank you.
But I, like, it was so, it like, for what it was, like, so affordable.
Oh,
and like,
I'm so glad you feel that way.
And like, honestly, like, I just dropped a cat in a bag of trash. Who are we? Anyway. No, but, no, it's like, it's so commendable to me that like, you do like, truly like, understand like, you know, people with not a lot of money deserve good things, too.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. It's, yeah, the vegan thing is not a privilege. Like, yes, more privileged people tend to be vegan because they can afford it, but there absolutely are affordable vegan options. And I ain't rich. Like, I don't have a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm self-employed, making cakes, like, not making a lot of money. So, yeah, I think it's really important to make it affordable for everybody, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah. I didn't actually say a thing. Well, because I that's the thing that I think, you know, I think about this a lot. Because I think it's, for me, the difference between something being, like, a remarkable culinary experience
mm-hmm.
and something being exclusionary.
Yeah. Exactly. That's
the thing for me is, like, the veganism I subscribe to is inclusive. It is something that people can, like, understand why.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to be that, unrelatable, like, yeah, vegan. Uppity. Right. Yeah, because it's like, that's totally not how, if you truly believe in, like, there being more, like, if for whatever reason you went vegan, for the animals, for, like, work, at, like, labor, like, any of those things.
Yeah,
like
health, whatever.
Like, if you're really trying to push your cause, like, why would you be, like, exclusionary about it? It just blows my mind, and that seems, yeah, like, some people, like, really love doing that.
Yeah, they just want to feel elitist. They want to feel like they're better. And right, that's an issue within the vegan community, is wanting to feel better than, which I think should be addressed. Like, some vegans might hate me for talking about this stuff, but I really don't care. I don't think that, like, I just think there's sometimes this belief that, like, if you're vegan, you're exempt from, like, you know, being called an asshole or whatever. Like, you know, there's sexual abuse going on in the vegan community. There's racism going on in the vegan community. Like, all this shit exists. Just because we're vegans does not mean that we get a free card. Like, we're the best people ever. Mm-hmm. Like, we are still, I mean, I could be guilty of being an asshole sometimes, and I would love to be called out for it. Like, we're not exempt from that.
Mm-hmm.
And I see that a lot. Like, oh, but it's a vegan business owner, and they, you know, they shouldn't be called out because they're vegan. No! Like, if someone is an asshole, they should be called out. Right. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, the cat is trying to make a mess.
The cat is so cute. Come back on my lap.
Come here. Come here, bugaboo.
You're so sweet.
Sorry. He just wants attention. He just wants a lot of attention. I'm just gonna
hold him like a baby.
Oh, he's so cute.
Hey. What has been the flavor that you've been thinking about the last couple days?
Like a new one?
Or just like, what?
I mean, what's, if you haven't, I mean, if you haven't, you want to drop it. I mean, yeah.
I'm more just thinking, like, what I, because I'm a person that loves food, and I have cravings, like, yes, a different craving every other day, where I'm like, I'm gonna make, you know what I just made recently? I did, I learned how to make a vegan roux, which is very exciting.
Ooh,
to me, which,
yes,
is just taking, like, vegan butter and flour, and then making a bechamel, and
yeah,
then,
I think she knows how to make a roux.
I'm more saying it for people that don't know.
I know, I'm but you're, like, looking at Heather describing it. I'm like, I'm pretty sure she knows how to make a
fucking,
yeah,
roux. I've never heard of that one before.
But I also have been making, so I'll make, like
that's awesome,
mac
though,
and cheese sauce, and then, yes, add Hormel chili to it. They make,
oh,
a vegan chili.
Oh my gosh.
And then putting that in like pasta.
That sounds amazing.
It just hits that, like, like that gross Super Bowl,
yes,
Velveeta.
Oh my god,
chili
Velveeta
cheese dip that you did. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's my favorite. I was really excited when my boyfriend once made me like a nacho cheese that tasted just like the movie theater nacho cheese, which, like, oh, I don't even know if it actually has cheese in it. It's so,
right,
fake.
No.
But yeah, I like mixed like the Tees cheese, which I don't think they sell anymore.
They were wholesaling it for a while, but I don't know if they're doing that anymore.
Yeah. Like that with like jalapeno juice. Oh my god, it tasted, oh, just like that. Like, that's the, I'm a total junk food vegan. I'm trying to be healthier, but man, I'm such a junk food vegan. That's the stuff that I crave all the time. But with cake flavors, I don't know. I crave funfetti a lot. Like, funfetti has just been my thing forever. It's just classic vanilla cake, all the sprinkles.
There's something really satisfying about,
yeah,
that flavor.
Oh, it's so nostalgic.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. Sometimes that just does it for me. Just vanilla and vanilla, sprinkles on everything.
Well, I mean, yeah, like, what haven't you done at this point? You know,
like, I don't know.
Is it, so it's similar with, I'm curious if it's similar with, because, like, you, so Maureen does, like, specialty barista stuff at,
yeah,
First Sip.
So I'm
I have to go, you got the goth latte, right? Oh my gosh, I have to go.
Yeah, no, I made, basically, I work at, what the?
Cats running everywhere.
I work at a cafe, it's called First Sip Cafe. Mm-hmm. It's off the Argyle Red Line stop, and it's myself and the two owners who work there.
Oh, that's so awesome. So,
yeah,
intimate.
It is very intimate, and I, they, like, built out the space, like, it's two sisters, they built out the space,
They are the creative force behind it.
I need to talk to them about
Storefront. Oh no, they're amazing. They're wow. they are wonderful people.
That's great.
But so yeah, but and I came in at like the 11th hour and was like, "Oh, I've been a barista for 10 years. Like, let me offer some advice of like where the espresso machine should go, like, mm-hmm. you know, kind of like how like the classic coffee menu should go." And then what I do is I try to come up with a specialty drink mm-hmm. for like it's called the Daily Sip. I change it out like once a week.
I love that.
But like it's so fun experimenting with different flavors.
Yeah, you get to, that's the part of it is the creative factor. You don't have to be stuck doing the same stuff over and over.
Yeah, and that's kind of the reason why I was like, is because it'd be really easy for me to be like, what's your plan? You know, but it seems like that's not the thing, right?
No,
that's
not the. If it's similar to what I've experienced, it's a spark of inspiration.
Totally, yeah. Yeah. It's like I'm craving s'mores all of a sudden. Oh, I should make a s'mores cake. Or like, yeah. It's totally just child. For me, it's often childhood cravings. Or lately, I've done some that weren't actually based on cravings, and they were more aesthetic, like the all black cakes with the black frosting and black sprinkles. That's just like, you know, my inherent gothiness mm-hmm. I wanted to do. But most of them are based off of cravings of things that I just loved in my childhood. And again, junk food craving, Nutter Butters, like, you know, cook like. Cakes with cookies all over them.
Sometimes you post know. The cake, and I'll be like, "Oh, I forgot she makes that." You just mentioned wow. the Nutter Butter cake, and I was like, "Oh, I forgot about that one."
The flavors I'm playing with right now at the cafe, I'm playing with pistachio and pineapple.
Whoa, together? That is unique.
It's good.
Oh, I love that.
I think I'm going to put it in cold brew.
That I'm going to come by and try that like, next week. Yeah, I haven't done... That's one thing I haven't done. I haven't done, like, a pistachio cake. I always thought it would be cool to... I don't know if I should say it or someone else is going to do it. But if someone else does it, whatever. Like, if you beat me to it, hey, whatever.
But also, like, we know.
Yeah. Yeah. We said it here first. Like a cannoli cake. Like,
oh my God. If you did a cannoli cake, I would die.
Like, because my thing, I guess, is like covering cakes and shit. Like, I'm gonna cover this in chocolate chips. I'm gonna cover this in sprinkles. I'm gonna cover this in, you know, whatever. It's just what I like to do. And honestly, it came from me, like, being really crappy at making the outside of a cake perfectly smooth. I'm like, let's just throw this all over the outside and ta-da, it looks awesome. But I was thinking, yeah, covering the outside with pistachios, doing some kind of, what is it, like a ricotta filling mm-hmm. in a... Doing mm-hmm. that. What else is in there? There's mini chips.
That's pretty much it. It's just the thing that is really
Oh, wait. Is it ricotta or is it mascarpone?
Oh, maybe it's mascarpone. I gotta look that. I don't even know.
I'm pretty sure it's... I'm not actually sure. But what I am sure is that the fried dough is a really iconic part of the cannoli.
Yes. So I would have to... Maybe I could do, like, smashed cannoli shells, like, bits and pieces inside the layer or something. I don't know. Maybe.
Or, like, the middle part could be fried dough.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about? Like, between the layers.
That would be... Yeah, like, a whole layer. That would be awesome. So, yeah. See? This is how it happens. It's just, like, cravings.
Because you know how, have you tried those honeys that are like, that are made from like, derived from like apple instead of honey?
Mm. What?
Yeah, it's like, it's called like no bee honey or something.
Bee free,
like.
I think.
Yeah,
and it actually tastes like honey?
Yeah. I mean, there's like a little bit of an apple taste. Of course, but I mean,
also like, apples are great.
Yeah, I know. Right. Like, I'm not gonna say no to something that tastes kind of like apples. Right. Like, who cares? That sounds amazing. But, like...
That's really cool.
Yeah. No, it's, But I've been trying to experiment with something, like, baklava-inspired.
Mm. Yes.
Like, honey and pistachio. I just love pistachios. I can't get enough
yeah.
of them.
Yeah. Oh, they're so good. The salt and pepper pistachios are my fave.
Oh, yum.
So good.
Oh, my God.
We've totally gone over...
Oops.
A bit, oh. But that's totally okay. I want to know, before we do the plug section, is there anything else that you wanted to, any other, like, things that folks asked about or anything like that, or anything you want to leave people with?
The number one question I got asked is, when or how do you sleep? Oh, no. And the answer is, I don't. I usually sleep, like, 2 to 3 hours. I'm used to it, but it's not going to be forever. I'm going to work things out. Yeah, I want to leave on a positive note. Things are crazy right now, but they're totally going to get better, and I have hope, and yeah, things will be good. It's going to be okay, and when it's not okay, I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to be whiny, and it's okay. Whatever.
I'm so excited for you to take time off in June.
Thank you.
Like, that's going to be, I'm, like, so excited. I know that I have no control over your life, but, like, I insist that you take time off in June. Thank you.
I need to hear that because I get so guilty. Like, people are going to be so mad at me. So I need to hear the validation of, like, it's okay for you to take the time.
100% take the time.
Thank you.
Like, if people get mad about it, like, then they're going to be mad about it for a second. And then when everything is more streamlined, they're going to be so much happier.
Well, right. I also think, like, it's really easy to feel like the vocal minority are the majority, but they're, yes. but you know, they're not. Like, you yes. know that you, like, there are hundreds of people that support what you're about. And then there's one loud person that's,
and
like,
then I, like, totally kill myself over the loud person. Right. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm learning to not. I'm learning to, yeah, the haters... I'm learning to put them away in a little compartment, and they can just, like, fight with each other. And,
good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Cool. Well, the last thing we do with all of our guests is a one-minute plug for anything they have upcoming. We also love hearing about where folks can find out more about you, like an Instagram feed that you curate and cultivate in a beautiful way, if that were relevant to anything that you had going on.
yeah, not at all.
Otherwise, we love... hearing about other folks that you, or shout outs to other folks that you think are doing dope work.
Okay.
Or any self care things.
Oh no.
that you are up to. Any media that you're consuming, books, movies, TV shows, music, stuff like that.
Okay. My next event is Mother's Day, Sunday, May 13th. It's the Chicago Vegan Test Kitchen Market. It's from 12 to 6.
I've seen posts about this.
Yeah, it's at Emporium in Logan Square. I'll be posting about it. My Instagram is PiePiemerDarling. My Facebook is PiePiemerDarling. You guys probably already know that. Things that I'm into lately, I'm really into sci-fi dystopian future movies. That's like my one little escape if I have some time to like watch a movie while I do emails. I just watched the movie Ex Machina. I don't know if that's how you say it. Ex Machina? I don't know. But it's about like the first robot created. It's really cool.
Cool.
So yeah, that's what I'm into.
Very cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, thank you all so much for listening.
You're looking at me like
that eye contact.
It's like, what are you doing?
Thank you all so much for listening. I've been Daniel Johansson.
I continue to be Maureen Smith.
If you want to keep up with what we are up to, there are so many ways you can do that. The first is to head over to scopymag.com. That's our website. We post all of our articles and podcast episodes there. You can also find us on the old social media on Facebook. That is our page, Scopy Magazine. We also have a Facebook group that we love and adore called Sounding Board, where we talk about arts, politics, astrology, a lot of astrology. Sorry. It's my fault. What was I saying?
Otherwise.
Oh, you can also find us on Instagram, Tumblr, and Twitter under Scopy Mag. We spell it the same way as the website. Did I spell the website at the top?
I don't remember.
scapimag.com, scapimag on Instagram, Twitter, and Tumblr. You can also find us on most podcast places. If we're not on your podcast place, let us know. But for sure, we're on iTunes, Google Play, and Radio Public. And we're there under Scopy Radio.
Awesome. And I'm here to talk about subscribing. If you go to our website, scopymag.com, and go to our subscribe page, there are a couple ways that you can do that. The first is to enter in your email to receive an email every time we post something on our site, which is awesome because Facebook, Instagram, all of those things eat our shit. Like, they eat it right up. And it's, yeah. So the best way to get our content first and every time we post is to sign up for those emails. It's really, really awesome. Another awesome thing to do is to become a member of Scopy Magazine. For $5 a month, you will get a pin with our little motto, go out and make something. And for $10 a month, we're actually going to start curating a concert series that at $10 a month, you'll be invited to.
More details on that to come. And then at $25 a month, that is where our advertising rates start. So if you're interested in advertising with us, we get a lot of website traffic. We're super viable, like all of a sudden super viable as an advertising platform. So if you're interested in that, please reach out to us, scopymag@gmail.com. So yeah, read our stuff. Subscribe.
Cool. Thanks again so much for listening. Go out and make something.
Yep.